6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Introducing first, speaking out of Akron, Ohio, representing Team Popping the Boys, the headline god, Jeremy Lambert, and his co-host, speaking out of Atlanta, Georgia, representing more than one royal family, the king of indie viewing, Steven Jensen, and this is the Spotlight on Fightful.
Welcome, everyone, to the Spotlight here on Fightful. I'm Jeremy Lambert. That is Steven Jensen. And shout out, as always, to a very busy man this past week, Big Dick MLJ, for the intro. Jensen, how you doing, buddy? So,
yeah,
what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I figured that was going to be the opening line today. All right. Oh, geez, dude, I showed you, I already, like, the poster, see that behind me right here?
Yeah. It's a good poster.
Yeah. So I ordered that, like the day or so before, WrestleMania. And then, it came in yesterday. By the time I got it, the damage had already been done. Before we get into all this, let's look at the chat real quick. I saw some good chats in here before we got going. If y'all have super chats, if you send them, we will make sure to put them up on the screen, answer your questions, read your statements, all that good stuff. Today's episode will probably be mainly WrestleMania related, maybe a little bit of like collective talk, maybe a little TNA Rebellion. I'll be on the TNA Rebellion post show, by the way, with Cresta and Joel this Sunday for anyone who wants to join us there live. I also plan on going to 1FW tomorrow night. Jack Jameson's going to be wrestling there in the infantry, and I think QT, quite a few of the Nightmare Factory people. So good wrestling weekend coming up. But as far as the chats I'm seeing in here, what's up? Who likes Fig Shores? Always good to see you in here. Louisville in here, always good to see you as well. Kogan, a.k.a. CW Sporty. I almost tweeted about this. I rarely ever tweet. He mentions first PS Power uploads with his WrestleMania review, and then it's time for the spotlight. Yes, PS Power did in fact upload today using the same camera and setup and TNA t-shirt that he was wearing like 20 years ago when he was doing YouTube videos, which I think is amazing. So yes, I already watched the PS Power video, as a matter of fact, CW Spory. People talking about the roast of me instead of the roast of WWE. That's a whole other topic we probably won't dive into today. SP3, what's up? Good to see you, brother. Thanks for having me on over the weekend. We'll catch up on more chats in a moment, but good to see everyone in here. Scott George, always in here. Pile Driver Finisher, what's up? Good to see everyone here on this is a very different episode than last year, post-WrestleMania for me, unfortunately. Similar to the WrestleMania 39, but like doesn't hurt as bad as WrestleMania 39 did in certain ways, because I kind of expected Cena to win, even though I was still very, you know, hopeful that Cody was going to. I know we want to start on all this. If you want me to just dive right into the main event, or
are we good with the pleasantries? Do you want me to hit the bumper so people know like we're about
to? Oh, you probably have something set up. Yeah, go ahead, play it. What do you got?
It's just, what do we get? What do we get? What do we get? What do we get? You get nothing. You get what you have earned, and what you have earned is nothing.
Cody Rhodes got nothing in the main event of WrestleMania 41, and John Cena got WWE Championship number 17. And for my money, the greatest WrestleMania, not only main event, I won't even say the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time. The greatest WrestleMania match of all time. I might go a step further and say it was the greatest WWE match of all time. And I might even go one step further and say, sorry to Randy Orton and Edge, it was the greatest wrestling match ever. John Cena puts down Cody Rhodes to win championship number 17. How did you feel about this main event, Jensen?
Okay, so I don't really know exactly where to start. The bumper, you know, I figured you had something planned when you wanted to run the bumper so badly just then. Sorry, I'm still like, I'm finagling with my audio setup. Give me just one second. Sorry.
Oh, I can continue to talk about how great this main event was, Jensen. Don't worry.
Oh, no, I just got it fixed. We're good. Okay, so we're good. So the bumper reminded me of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Remember when Willy Wonka tells Charlie he gets nothing? You know, it was very...
Never seen that movie.
You've never seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
No. Is it about family?
Is this shoot? You've never seen that movie?
I don't think so. Is that the one with Johnny Depp?
The original one with Gene Wilder is the one that I'm referring to.
Is John Cena in that movie?
No, John Cena wasn't in that movie.
It doesn't exist then.
Yeah. Well, I was going to make another Willy Wonka reference, but you wouldn't understand it. One of the biggest copes, people in the chat will understand, one of the biggest copes in the history of entertainment is when Charlie opens that first chocolate bar and there's no golden ticket in there, and he's talking to his Uncle Joe, and he's like, I bet the gold ticket makes the chocolate taste terrible, you know. And that's man, if you can do that as long as you held the one up a couple years ago, that'd be impressive.
Don't doubt me. Do not doubt me.
I don't doubt you. So the match itself, okay, you know, I'm gonna start before the match even happened. I knew things were gonna be screwed up, and I knew we were doomed, and like something was wrong. When before the match even happened, that's when Stone Cold Steve Austin came out and drove the ATV into the guardrail and, you know, knocked someone over or whatever. But that was an omen. because it was like, wait a second, you have Austin there in the building with the tie-in to last year's WrestleMania that he could totally avenge for not appearing at, and they wasted, that's a Big Daddy reference, I'm going to say, the waste of the good surprise on before the match. They're literally like it's like you had him there. I feel like you should have been involved in the main event, but because he wasn't, I was like, oh, Cena's like for sure going to win now. Like Austin's not going to come out and help Cody. Undertaker already did it last year. You know,
Cody has no friends. Kevin Owens tried to tell you he has no friends.
Yeah. Yeah. So before the match even happened, I was like, I was a little worried, a little shook that things might not go Cody's way. Then the actual match happens, and the match itself, like, I got far enough into it before I was like, oh, wait a second. Like, this match isn't very good. Like, this isn't a very good match. Like, and I'm expecting this big, you know, something like last year. Like, okay, they haven't really started cooking yet. Like, we're getting like kind of a standard kind of match, spamming finishers, that kind of stuff. But then we'll get the big, I mean, The Rock's got to be here, right? Like, of course The Rock's going to come out. And so when Travis Scott's music hit, which I had heard, I never want to hear that song ever again. I thought the most annoying song in WrestleMania history was Lunch Money Lewis years
Fiend.
Back.
Fiend.
Yeah, it was so Fiend. Bad.
Fiend.
So his music hits, and then, you know, obviously everyone's expecting The Rock to come out next. Like, obviously, like, clearly that's what's going to happen. So when The Rock never appears, and then they also make it about Cody, like, not pulling the trigger, like, not hitting Cena with the title, I was like, this is just, it just came across really lame and underwhelming. And it was really unfortunate that everything went down the way that it did.
Perfect encapsulation of Cody's title run.
No, I think we can get to that in a moment. I'm very proud of Cody's title run. He had the title for a whole year and
defended it against three people the entire year.
Good stories, good matches. And sold a ton of merchandise, sold out a bunch of buildings. Like, he's the
made the money for billionaires.
Yeah, made a bunch of money for himself too, and the company for sure. That's all part of it. He gets paid millions of dollars to continue to make the company millions of dollars. So, you know, obviously, what I'm hoping for is that, and I called this before the match, that I felt like this was a possible scenario. I'm okay with all this. I mean, I'm not happy about the match itself. Like, I mean, I'm with everybody. It was not a great main event. It was honestly one of the worst WrestleMania main events that I can honestly think of. Like, it wasn't, especially because you had the expectations from last year. You had the expectation of The Rock being there and, like, bigger surprises. And Travis Scott just really doesn't fit in my opinion. Like, I get he's, like, super famous or whatever, but it's amazing how many people actually I hear constantly being like, what does he actually do? I mean, like, people know about his shoe and people Fiend, know some of his songs, Fiend, but like, Fiend, he doesn't seem like Fiend, that, Fiend, that old
Fiend.
Yeah.
Fiend.
It's so Fiend, bad. I can't keep Fiend, listening to that. You're saying
Fiend.
This and drive me nuts. That song is terrible. And, you know, anyway, he's involved and it is what it is. And it's okay if that he's involved if, like, The Rock's also there or, like, you know, but it can't just be like him and Cena at the end of WrestleMania standing tall. And that's exactly what we got. So it just didn't. It was disappointing. The match was disappointing. The finish was disappointing. The Rock not being there was disappointing. I think if The Rock's going to involve himself this heavily in storylines heading into WrestleMania, he needs to show up at WrestleMania. I heard that interview that he did there, that whatever he did the other day, on a McAfee, where he was talking about, you know, I'm sure you already talked about that plenty on other shows, but like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, nothing he says makes sense about what they did at WrestleMania this year. Like, if you wanted to do this without The Rock at WrestleMania, and don't even get me started on, like, Elimination Chamber wasn't doing well, good enough business wise. So, like, they called me in to get involved. Like, that I just don't believe that. I mean, I believe that they wanted him involved, but I don't think it was like because the ticket sales were so low, he had to be involved. Like, if they were going to do this, they shouldn't have turned Cena until the main event of WrestleMania. Like, they should have actually done the turn during the match, had him kick Cody in the nuts. Big turn that nobody like really expected to go down. Because the other thing is like Cena, like what did selling the soul do? Like Cena didn't sell a soul to The Rock at all. John Cena already won the Elimination Chamber before any of that even happened. So it's like you won the title match already, and then you sold your soul. But selling your soul really was just turning on Cody and turning on the fans. But like nothing that the association with The Rock meant nothing to any of this at the end of the day. And Cena still wound up winning the championship with The Rock without The Rock around. So like it's just like baffling how like the night and day difference, in my opinion, from like last year's WrestleMania to this WrestleMania. When it came to like the big moments and big matches, there were still some good matches this year that we're going to talk about. But like last year's main event was epic. This year's main event was just—it was a dud. It was crazy.
This year's main event was epic because it had worldwide superstar Travis Scott in it, way more famous than The Undertaker and The Rock and Jey Uso and Solo Sikoa. It had John Cena in the main event, way more famous than Roman Reigns. And it had Cody Rhodes losing, a way better outcome than Cody Rhodes winning. You know what your problem is, Jensen? Not trolling. Yeah, I'm being very serious with this answer as I continue to wave my hand in front of my face.
Yes.
You're not just a fan. You're trying to be too critical of, oh, it made things look weak. It didn't make sense. Why'd The Rock show up and then disappear? It's all a work, brother. Just be a fan and enjoy what you see and don't be so critical of it. Appreciate John Cena's 17th championship. Appreciate LeBron James' 6 championships. Appreciate Ric Flair 16 championships. Appreciate, sorry, LeBron's only got 5 or 4. I can't remember what he has. He's not the real GOAT, John Cena is. Appreciate Michael Jordan's 6 championships. Appreciate Kobe's 5 championships. We're not talking about the bilingual DeMar DeRozan, Randy Orton. Just appreciate the greatness in front of you and respect the 17-time world champion, John Cena. The last real world champion.
Which brings me to my next point. John Cena will be losing that championship back to Cody in his final match. So I think that they can kind of, like, people aren't going to forget about the main event of WrestleMania this year. Like, there's,
you know what the kids call what you're doing? You know what the kids call what you're doing right now, Jensen?
Cope.
A shitty AEW Revolution main event.
Oh, dude. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What else we got in here? I mean, Kai agrees with you about, you know, it's all we're going to see in here, Kai. What do me and LaGreca have in common? Big Cody marks. Big Cody marks.
Crybabies.
No, so I understand.
Crybabies.
I understand. I understand where he's coming from, and I will back him up and support him. He's a very smart man. I came into it knowing there was a good chance Cody was going to lose, but I think all of us can agree that this is not how we really wanted the 17th win for John Cena for that title to go down. Like, if he was going to do it, I wish he would have turned heel during the match. And I mean, it's all in hindsight now, obviously, but I think it would have been way more effective and come off way better if The Rock wasn't involved in the lead up to Mania, to just not show up at Mania. Even if you're going to have Travis Scott involved, that's fine. Have him come out and do the same thing you did pretty much in this match, but it would be infinitely more effective if that was the heel turn, not the buildup was the heel turn and then The Rock never paid it off. So like it just is what it is. And also it's worth noting that Cody wasn't getting booed at all in his WWE return until recently. And it's like,
wonder why.
Well, it doesn't help that he's involved in this Rock soul thing that didn't get paid off. Like, I think Cody's going to be, fine. And he's still their guy, but I also think it's really wild that like there was any thought anyone's
doesn't help these. He is a manufactured dork who stole John Cena's playbook, and the crowd is now realizing it because the last real world champion pointed it out. And the crowd smartly sided with John Cena because he's correct. He's always been correct. Everyone knows this for 25 years. And the crowd didn't have the appreciation for him until this recent run. And now they want to be fans of The Rock and John Cena. They want to be fans of what John Cena did, selling his soul to The Rock. No, John Cena doesn't need your fandom. He doesn't need my fandom, but I give it to him anyway as a devout follower of the hustle, the loyalty, and the respect.
Look, I just hope that the story gets better between now and the end of Cena's career at the end of the year. Like, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with this now. Because I do have faith that Cody's going to win the title back and Cody's still their guy. So I just, yeah, I'm obviously pretty disappointed about how this all wound up going down. But, yeah, and then Cody wasn't on Raw either at all, was he? They didn't even show him on the screen or anything.
Because he's not the champion. Quarterback one got benched. And so he's not even showing up to be a team player. That's what he really thinks of everybody. He's going to sulk in his bus with his Wheatley vodka instead of being there when other stars get to shine. What kind of quarterback does that? Fake quarterback. Aaron Rodgers' ass over here. Get him out of the league.
That just reminded me. I thought it was interesting that I think it was Nick Khan. I think it had to have been Nick Khan recently talking about how basically admitting that like they took note that AEW fans were booing Cody out of buildings. And that was like their kind of like green light to be like, when he's free, let's talk to him. Like, I don't think they were like, were even interested in it until they realized that their fans had turned on him. And then they were like, doesn't look like he's having a very good time over there. Let's see if he's interested. Then they said that he had made his mind up within minutes that he was going to come back. Which I thought was interesting too. I don't know how much he mulled over it or not. Louisville says Kirk Cousins ass quarterback. I think that's kind of in comparison to your Aaron Rodgers comparison.
I'll give Cody some credit in the fact that he won a title like Aaron Rodgers did. Aaron Rodgers also multiple time MVP. So I'll give Cody some credit in that fact. Kirk Cousins never won anything.
No. You're right. That's very accurate. Although it was nice to see him get benched last year because I thought that I have mixed feelings about it, the way he left Minnesota last season. Like, he had every right in the world to sign somewhere else for more money, but he just kind of got what he deserved. Like, he wouldn't pass the torch to J.J. McCarthy, and the passing the torch is the right thing to do. And he wound up having to reluctantly take the bench and watch Michael Penix. But I do think there's a really good chance. I think that the Vikings are going to trade for Cousins within the next few days and bring him back as J.J.'s backup. Like, cause but Kirk has to, it's up to him because he has a no trade clause in his deal. So he's going to have to basically decide, do I want to be the backup in Atlanta or the backup in Minnesota? And have actually a chance of playing in Minnesota if McCarthy gets hurt again, or the team's in a bind but still has like a playoff chance or something. So like, anyway, NFL drafts tonight, by the way. We'll be out of here within the next hour. That just reminded me that the draft is tonight. I can't believe you're still waving your arm, dude. That's actually pretty impressive. You've been going for like
never give up hour. Like my hero John Cena.
Are you wearing the wristbands?
Never give up. You can't see me.
Gosh. Oh, man.
Never give up, Jensen. Never give up. Just like John Cena. He never gave up. And that's
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
That's why he's the 17-time world champion.
I will admit, I don't have it here yet to show you guys, but I did have the homie Gunther, we're talking about Gunner, who's been on the show before, the Cody Rhodes super fan that has the best Cody Rhodes collection I've ever seen. Gunner was at WrestleMania and grabbed me a signed Cody Rhodes promo poster and a signed John Cena promo poster. So I did still wind up supporting
one of those is worth a lot of money. The other can be used as
cheap, use my imagination,
cheap toilet paper.
Yeah. Figured that's exactly what you were gonna say. We can talk about the rest of WrestleMania if you want to now for the next hour or so. Y'all knew I wasn't gonna be happy about what happened, but you know, it doesn't sing nearly as bad as WrestleMania 39 did, because like my hopes were really, really high that he was gonna win that night. Then things wound up working out even better by WrestleMania 40. I got a year-long title reign out of my favorite wrestler of all time. Like, I remember watching this guy in high school on our wrestling mats talking about John Cena on television. Like, before, you know, so it's
and
like
he got to lose to him in the main event.
And he will avenge it before John Cena hangs up his boots. John Cena will turn babyface and do the right thing and put over Cody before it's all said and done. So, and I still think we're going to get Cody versus The Rock next year at WrestleMania, if The Rock, you know, decides he wants to show up. So, anyways.
Okay. Let's talk about The Rock. This dude's hilarious. I want to get like your actual thoughts on what he said, because this is hilarious. So he wanted to turn Cody. You heard that part, right?
I heard the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And he still believes Cody's going to turn at some point in the near future. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? Knowing that The Rock's plan, if The Rock got his way, if he swung his Johnson around and got to overrule Triple H here, Cody Rhodes would be a heel right now. How would you feel about that?
Well, y'all remember that episode of the South Park about the Mormons, which was a great episode. I love that episode. Just so, so funny. It actually taught me a lot about the Mormon religion, actually. Like, it was actually educational. Shout out to the South Park group for that episode. That's how I feel about The Rock's idea of like, why, like, you, it took the company, like, depending on how you look at this, right? Because I'm going to count Roman in the, like, whatever it was, 7-8 years it took before he got over. Like, they tried for almost a decade. It took the WWE, straight up a decade to find a replacement for John Cena. And he never had an equal during his main run. He had some guys that rose up to high levels near him, you know, like CM Punk got very, very popular. You know, he had good rivalries with guys like Edge and stuff like that. But, like, none of them got to that John Cena level or even close, to be completely honest. Like Punk kind of got there for a short time. And, you know, guys like Randy Orton got big and Batista and stuff. But y'all know my point. John Cena, Brock Lesnar, John Cena was their guy, ultimately, for, like, 15 years straight, pretty much. And a big component of that is not just finding a guy who can main event a whole bunch of shows, which is what they wound up doing with Roman Reigns over and over and over again for years, and it wasn't working. You have to get the guy who the fans are actually behind, and more importantly, the fans that, like, the adults and even more importantly, the kids are behind. And it's all tied in with the make-a-wishes and all the media appearances and everything that someone like John Cena did. Like, John Cena was learning Mandarin, flying around the country. Like, in his off time, he's learning Mandarin. His only sleep he's getting is in cars and in airplanes and stuff. You know, so there's this whole aspect to it. And you have to actually be over as a good guy, or at least in the eyes of the gigantic child audience, you have to be that perceived good guy, which John Cena was. There were jaded teenagers and jaded adults and stuff like us that were booing John Cena at that time. But for the most part, he was the babyface because the kids were the driving force of the company. They were PG company. The reason that I'm saying all this is because they finally got the replacement in Cody. After all that, after a decade of trying with Roman, finally got over as a heel, and now he's a babyface, but it took like a decade to get here. Cody Rhodes is their next quote-unquote John Cena. He actually is. And so for like The Rock to have any thought in his mind at all about let's turn this guy heel right now when nobody's done better business, like, no, I mean, I know it's a different time and, you know, ticket prices are higher and this and that merch is probably more expensive. I get all these things and there's aspects to all this stuff. But like, if you're looking at just raw numbers, Cody Rhodes right now is like the best merch seller like they've ever had. Their ticket sale, their live attendance and their everything that has to do with the Netflix deal and all this stuff. Like Cody is the face of all this happening. A lot of the credit goes to Roman too for propping up Cody as to get him to this level. A lot goes to Roman too. But the reason I'm so harping this so much is because like they tried so hard for so long to find their next Cena and they actually found one in Cody. Like they actually did it. So why in the hell would you turn him heel anytime soon? Like I expect him to turn heel at some point in the future if he continues to wrestle for the next 3, 5, 8, 9 years, whatever it winds up being. Like I think at some point Cody will probably turn heel, but that's going to be when they feel like they have their next guy they can try to make their next big baby face. You know, like, and they don't have that yet. They have some guys who could potentially become that, but they don't have it yet. So until then, you got to ride with Cody as your top good guy until you have like a legitimately undeniable reason to turn him. And there's no reason. He was so over as a baby face. They had to turn The Rock and John Cena heel against him. Like that's such an insane thing to actually, when you really think about that, that's how over Cody is. So like, you know, why would The Rock try to screw with that? And I would imagine Triple H heard that and was like, because people were like, Cody vetoed it. Whether Cody thought it was a good idea or not, he's not the one ultimately that's going to make that decision. I have a pretty darn good feeling Triple H was like, no, what? what? You want to do what? I probably had to do with them, the two. There's probably stuff going on between Triple H and The Rock to some degree where like they're probably not seeing completely eye to eye. I know I'm sugarcoating it, but they're probably not seeing totally eye to eye right now. Because that's a dumbass idea to turn Cody Rhodes heel right now.
I don't think they've been seeing eye to eye for about 25 years, but they love collaborating together on everything. No. I don't think The Rock gets Cody Rhodes. I just don't. I think that's why he thought last year he could walk in and do the match with Roman and it'd be fine. Maybe he gets Cody Rhodes. He doesn't get the popularity of Cody Rhodes. He doesn't understand how this guy and why this guy is so popular and that he is so popular. Even maybe he understands like, oh yeah, I can see he's popular. He doesn't understand like the actual gravity of it. And I say this as someone who spent the first 20 minutes of the show trolling Jensen about Cody Rhodes. I can understand the gravity of how popular Cody Rhodes is. And it was very much on display last year before WrestleMania. And it was even on display for all the trolling I'll do to you, Jensen. I was super impressed with that promo on Friday when the crowd was booing him. And yeah, he brought them back. Oh, yeah. He knows what he's doing in these spots. He's very good at this. And I don't think The Rock gets any of that. He just thought, we can turn Cody Rhodes. He's such a great babyface. He'll be such a great heel. This makes a lot of sense. And without actually understanding what that meant. And there's a part of it of him just wanting to come in and blow up plans and then leave without it meaning anything. And Triple H probably being like, you tried this last year. We salvaged it. you're not going to come in and try to blow things up again this year and really leave us without a direction afterwards. Because you set up a Cody and Rock match last year after WrestleMania. So why would it be now you want him on your side? None of it made sense. It's hilarious the damage control he tried to do with everything. And all of it backfired on him and WWE and Triple H because the build sucked. The match wasn't very good. And the finish was what it was.
I mean, it seems to me, and I really don't want to like accuse The Rock of being this petty. Like, I really don't. He's like the largest.
I will.
You know, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, he's the biggest, you know, movie star in the world and has, you know, the most followers on Instagram or whatever, yada, yada, yada. He's like legitimately like the, like one of the most recognizable famous people in the history of the world, which is like crazy. So it's probably hard for him to wrap his mind around, wait, how does this guy with 2 million followers and Cody Rhodes, who left our company and came back and lost to Roman the previous year, like, how is he getting cheered over me? Like, how is, like you just said, he's probably very confused. He doesn't understand it. But I think it's even bigger where it's like an actual ego thing for him, where it's like, no, I'm going to show y'all who the people champ is. Like, I make a couple tweaks here or there. They'll be cheering me over Cody soon enough. And like, it just isn't working. Or it like worked up to a point and then he bailed. So it's like, it comes off as kind of petty and jealous. And you'd think he totally understood after last year. The two of them worked the tag team match against each other and all that stuff leading up to WrestleMania. And I mean, they literally carried Cody around on his shoulders like Rudy. They paraded him around the ring like Rudy at the end of the WrestleMania and like anointed him literally as the next guy. Like, how would The Rock not understand this? Outside of just being kind of disconnected, you know?
Like, maybe he now understands it, but now it does become a petty thing for him of, okay, we did what you guys wanted to do last year. Now let me come in, and I think this is the best idea for this year. And Triple H and Cody and whoever else were like, no, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why are we going to do that? But I think he might understand it to a better degree after everything that last year. Now I think it's a power play with everything. I think now it's just about, it's about drive. It's about power. We stay hungry. We devour.
It's going to be interesting to kind of keep a watch on, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, Triple H's job is like in jeopardy right now. I'm not going to say that, but I just think it's going to be interesting to see, like, if business dips at any point in the near or even distant future, like, because clearly The Rock is their guy. Like, as far by there, I mean like Ari Emanuel and like TKO, like they're actual like partners with this guy. Triple H works for them essentially. I mean, if you had like an Hawaii bloodline diagram of the family, Ari Emanuel would be at the very top and The Rock would be right underneath him. And then you got, you know, Triple H underneath them and Dana White kind of above him to kind of skewered a little. So anyways, once again, reason I'm saying all this is because if things do go south at all, I feel like TKO is going to side with The Rock. So like, that's just going to be an interesting thing to see. But if business continues to keep slamming the way that it is, like, they have no reason to even consider that. And to them, it's just like The Rock is like the cherry on top. Like, when they can get The Rock, they know they're going to do a little bit better business and they get a huge name on the show, and they're going to want The Rock involved. But they're going to want The Rock involved way more, not just on screen, but like especially backstage in decision making if business dips for any reason. I feel like he's going to be like their emergency button, where they're going to be like, all right, well, things aren't working right now for whatever reason. Let's let The Rock do whatever he wants. And like, that's very possible, you know? Just interesting to see that things could potentially play out that way over time. And I'm not advocating for it, by the way. I like Triple H and I like his booking. You know what I mean? For the most part, I like that someone new finally, after all these years, at least has the opportunity to give us something different than when Vince gave us for so long, you know, but like, it's just something to kind of keep your eye on, that dynamic between The Rock and Triple H right now.
Well, right now it's not going any further because The Rock ain't going to be around for a while. It's just a matter of when does The Rock feel like showing back up. And when he does, we will continue to see this power play.
Yeah. Well, and I also feel like, to quote my favorite fighters of all time, the Diaz brothers, they kind of sold Wolf tickets to the wrestling fans with The Rock, because they heavily implied he was going to be involved at WrestleMania. They never outright said it, but I feel like if The Rock had this whole thing in mind already, like he said in the interview, and he said, we did what we needed to do and I could step back, then why didn't he just say that on television if you didn't want the idea out there that he was going to be at WrestleMania? You know what I mean?
So I don't think they were in a great position either way, because they didn't mention The Rock at all. That was the complaint, is they didn't mention The Rock at all. Now, do I think John Cena or Cody, more likely Cody, do I think Cody could have been like, you sold your soul to The Rock. Why? He's not going to be there for you. When has he showed up this entire time? He's not going to show up at WrestleMania. The Rock's not actually backing you. He doesn't care what you do, John. You were self-made before The Rock, and you still sold your soul to him. And where has he been? But if he does that, people are still going to be like, oh, Cody said he's not going to be there. He's definitely going to be there. So you're kind of, because The Rock was involved in this angle from the start and he was a big part of it, people were going to work on the assumption he was showing up at Mania regardless, no matter what they said. They could have outright said, The Rock's not going to be here. And everyone still would have been like,
true.
Yeah, but they're just saying that. The Rock's obviously going to show up. They tried to tell you he wasn't going to be there by literally never mentioning him during the show. And that was the clue of, do not expect him to be here. And instead, people were rightfully like, why aren't you mentioning him? He needs to show up to make any of this make sense. And then he didn't show up.
Well, I will say this, and I haven't seen anyone really catch, I mean, I'm sure other people caught it, but I haven't seen it become like a talking point, nor do I really want to see it become a talking point, because I like the guy who said this and I don't want him to catch any shit for it. But Big E on the pre-show said The Rock was there. Like, he straight up was like, oh, he's here for sure. Like, of course he's here. Like, I mean, like, Big E straight up said it. So like, but I mean, once again, that's him just being a fan. And like, we all were assuming he was going to be there, but I vividly recall Big E saying he was going to be there during the pre-show. But you know, those guys are just spitballing, just talking off the top of their head. You know, I'm not blaming Big E or saying like Big E was the one selling us Wolf tickets. But just wanted to throw that out there, like, because I did catch that while I was before the show started, and I was like, why would they put a? Because it was almost like, why would they put the spoiler out there? But it was like, well, it's so obvious he's going to show up. It's not really a spoiler. And he didn't even show up.
Right? People thought he was going to show up because they did the merch, the finally The Rock has come back to Las Vegas merch, and people were like, oh, The Rock's definitely here because they have Rock merchandise and from everything. Like, well, no, it said finally The Rock's come back to Las Vegas. So
they used like, it. They used that merchandise the last time they were in Las Vegas. I saw fans talking about.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Like, they were shirts that were printed like last year for a different WWE event. And then I don't know if they resold them at the show or just like a ton of people had them from last time. I don't know that part of it, but I saw
them at, like, they were posted pictures in the shop. So I assume it's like resale stuff, which honestly makes a lot of sense because they do that everywhere. Like when they have Austin 316 shirts for all the cities. And if they don't sell them for one event, all right, well, the next time they come to that city, they'll just have those shirts out there. So, but it's still got people talking of like, oh, well, they wouldn't be selling Rock shirts if he wasn't going to show up. So again, it does feel like a damned if you do, damned if you don't, of we can either have no mention of this guy and tell you in that way that he's not showing up, or we can tell you, hey, he's not going to show up. Either way, you're going to think, oh, he's going to show up because he was an integral part to the story. He was the reason why a lot of this
went down. I wouldn't even be upset about this if he wasn't like literally the main reason all of this happened in storyline. And this goes back years. It isn't just this year's build. This goes back to Roman Cody 1 in a lot of ways. I mean, we're talking like a 3-4 year build here that like, and obviously more specifically, like recently, that's why I was so big on the whole, like, why did they even do this in the build to WrestleMania? If the Rock, I mean, anyway, we can talk ad nauseum about that and talk in circles, because like, I know we both agree, like, it just doesn't, it just comes down to this, it's very simple. If the Rock's going to be involved, especially a important character in a major story, he has to be there for the payoff. Otherwise, it just makes no sense. And that's not being like a critical, you know, neckbeard, like yelling in all caps into my keyboard on Twitter, you know, it doesn't keep me up at night, but it's one of those things. It's like, I'm just pointing out what I think is just like totally obvious that I feel like literally like every wrestling fan feels this way. It isn't like, it's not like I'm like in like this like niche corner of the internet, just like yelling into the void, you know, complaining about shit. This is like, I think every wrestling fan that saw this was we were all on the same page of like, wait a second, what? This is what? Like, and especially because it was like, because it was so good last year, you know, and the business has just been so good. And like, I've gone to multiple live events here in Atlanta over the last couple of years, and they've been so much fun. And like, the crowds are so into it and stuff. And it just seemed like they just threw that all out the window during this WrestleMania. Not all of it. There was still some good stuff we'll talk about. We don't have a whole lot of time to talk about now, but yeah. Any final thoughts on Cody and The Rock and Cena and this whole thing?
It was the greatest wrestling match of all time, with the greatest finish of all time. Fiend.
Never Fiend. Again. That's the last time I ever want to hear that on this show. Ryan, Skull Vikings. What's up, bro?
He agrees with me. It was the greatest match with the greatest run-in of all time. The last real champ has arrived, the number 17. God bless John Cena.
Wait, his time turning heel on me, Ryan? What the heck, man? What is this?
It'd always be your own people.
Yeah, right? Yeah, each your own. I hope we do good in the draft tonight, Ryan, by the way. I don't know if we have the number 24 pick. I don't know if we'll even use it, to be honest. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we traded down technically, like into the second round to get more picks. Cause like, unless, you know, we make like a big move that I don't understand, you know, don't expect, but I'm looking forward to the draft starting here in about a half hour or so. So Skull Vikings, thank you for your super chat, Ryan. Listen, I'm happy that I got to witness history and got to witness John Cena break the record in my lifetime. Like, that's a cool thing. Our whole lives, we've been talking about Ric Flair and his record. Now we can say it's John Cena, which I'd much rather personally be able to say that as a wrestling fan. I'm much prouder in the idea of John Cena being the representative of that record than Ric Flair for a lot of reasons. So like, I'm glad I got to witness it. It's just kind of wild that it came at the expense. I never in my life thought that John Cena would make history by beating Cody Rhodes for the world championship in the main event of WrestleMania in 2025. Like, you know, I'm way less bummed about it than you guys probably think that I am. I just didn't like the way that it went down, you know, like all fans, it seems like.
The rest of the card, there was obviously a lot. It's WrestleMania. It's a two-night event. To me, I'll get your thoughts on this. The best match between the two shows was Io, Bianca, and Rhea Ripley. I thought that was, I know a lot of people said it was maybe even the best. This is not sarcasm and trolling. A lot of people said it may have been the best opener of all time. Bret and Owen, certainly up there. Bryan and Triple H, certainly up there. But it's right there with it. And then if you want to say the best triple threat match of all time, there's obviously some a famous one with Stevie Richards in WrestleMania 20 as a great triple threat match. But I thought this match was all action from start to finish and all three women delivered.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, honestly, I think it's debatable. And this is a high praise and compliment. I don't mean any disrespect at all to anyone right here by saying this, but I think it's actually almost debatable of like that triple threat and the main event triple threat from night one. Like, both of them were like two of the best triple threat matches I've ever seen. Like, honestly, if I was comparing them like one-to-one, it's tough, right? Because like the main event of night one went like a half hour versus this one going like half that amount of time. But in that amount, like within 15 minutes, the women's match was better, if that makes sense. Like within that 15 minutes, like that was better. But it's like, it's, I think it's like debatable because the men's match also was so good at the end of night one. Once again, that's a great problem to have, right? We had two of the best triple threat matches of all time, technically back to back, because one ended night one, the other one started night two. I loved the women's triple threat match. I thought it was great. And I didn't expect Io to retain. I really didn't. And I liked the finish, you know, and I'm happy for Io. I've always been a fan of hers. So like, it's very cool to see her in the position that she's in. So I will agree with you. As far as the actual matches on WrestleMania went for both nights, I think it's actually pretty tough. I'm going to give the edge because I was right from the jump about the night one main event. So I've got a little more invested in that one. So I'm going to say that was actually the best match, but a very close second. The two best matches of WrestleMania, I think, were the two triple threat matches that we're talking about.
Anthony Cruz since super chat saying seeing it live, the Dom moment felt better than Cena. I mean, yes, it got a huge pop from everybody. Maybe the biggest pop of either night. But yeah, Dom winning the Intercontinental title was definitely one of the biggest reactions of the entire weekend. And certainly night two, anything else, we'll go on to night one here in a second. I was sticking with night two with everything, but anything else from night one or night two? Sorry, I'm mixing up the nights. Anything else from night two?
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought night two was a better overall show with a worse main event. So like, I once again, the women's triple threat, one of the best opening matches in WrestleMania history. I definitely agree with you there. And the other examples you gave are probably the only other two that I think are in that ballpark off the top of my head. The Triple H Danielson and the Owen Brett matches. Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, I thought totally delivered. Like, I didn't have super high hopes going into it, but I'm a fan of both guys. I thought Drew's selfie during the match was absolutely hilarious. Drew McIntyre rules. Drew McIntyre absolutely rules.
That blew up too.
Yeah. Like, he got like 300,000 likes or something on Twitter the last time I looked.
It was like Drew posted the stat of like, it was like the second most liked tweets of all of Twitter in like a one day span. Yeah. Maybe it was like the first hour or something for like the month and everything. So yeah, it did monster numbers.
And good for him. I said it 1,000 times. Outside of Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre is my top guy. Like my favorite, him and Seth Rollins is in that, the same little boat now too, those three guys. But yeah, I love the finish too, the way that McIntyre hit the claymore like through the chair in the corner. So that was great. I called the Dominic win for the Intercontinental title in our predictions as well, which I am happy to see. Dom is literally one of the most over people on the roster, and I love that he can just like troll everyone, like all the wrestlers backstage and stuff, because like they've all known him since he was a little kid. So like, it's probably just like kind of cool and fun for them too. Like, he's one of those guys that I doubt anyone gets jealous over. You know what I mean? Like, even the veteran wrestlers are probably like, they've known Dom literally since he was a child, because he was hanging around Ray and been on television and stuff. So like, I think it's cool as hell. I love Dom. I love seeing the transformation over the years from like the clean cut kind of chunky, you know, this like kid who was happy to be there with his dad to what we're getting now. I think it's fantastic. He's for sure a future world champion, 1,000,000%. Cool to see Joe Hendry show up. He's definitely not who I expected.
Did you think this was a burial?
No, because you have to, I mean, I didn't make the TNA championship look great, but like, it was all about getting Joe Hendry that pop, which the fans knew the song, they knew the dance and stuff. Like, that was a big litmus test for the WWE, probably, of like, if they're going to do business with him going forward, which I know that they have in NXT, but you know, and I know the WrestleMania audience is a different type of litmus test, because that's like a worldwide crowd live in that audience versus like just like a random city in an arena. But in the wrestling fans, obviously, at WrestleMania, but like, it was cool. It was cool to see Hendry get that stage, especially after hearing all the stories and rumors about, you know, other plans that he supposedly had that didn't come to fruition that would have had him on WWE television, you know, earlier and stuff like that. So, and, you know, obviously it was good to see Randy Orton on the show, you know, so I didn't have any problem with this. It was like 3 minutes long. So, you know, cool. I thought AJ Styles and Logan Paul was really damn good. I really enjoyed the match for the most. I didn't love the finish, but I liked what it led to with Karrion Kross's promo. I'm way more interested in Karrion Kross right now than I've been probably ever. So it worked there. And I expected Logan Paul to win, you know, but I love AJ Styles, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Lyra and Becky winning the tag titles. It was cool to see, like, you know, I expected it to be Becky. Feel bad for Bayley getting boxed out for no reason. And then it led to the turn with Becky the next night. And then, of course, we've already talked ad nauseum about the main event. So that's kind of my quick thoughts on it. Anything you wanted to elaborate on any of those?
When it comes to Becky and Lyra winning and then doing the turn the night after, that was a little odd to me. Of like, they got to do some explaining on that one. Because did Becky take out Bayley? And if so, was she just using Lyra for the titles? And once she lost them, they lost them, she was always going to turn. If they lost that match, was she going to turn? They gotta do some explaining on that one. It was cool to see Becky back. I didn't love that it came at the expense of Bayley, because Bayley does great work all year round, and if that was your big plan, you probably should have figured out something a little bit better. But they're never going to make me hate Becky Lynch. She absolutely rules.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but if they explain, I mean, there's ways they could maybe explain it to make it make sense. But like on, like for face value, that whole scenario doesn't make sense of Becky coming back, helping Lyra, them winning together, then her immediately turning the next night. But like you said, if it was like, you know, Becky's the one who attacked Bayley and stuff, like they could attempt to make it make sense. And I'm with you, like I said, with Bayley, I feel bad for her. She's kind of in like a similar position, I felt like, to Sami Zayn this year. Like, how are neither of these people on WrestleMania? Like, they have massive fan bases, some of the most over people in the company. Becky, especially on the women's side, like, she's one of the best women's wrestlers they've literally ever had, and like, she's healthy and over. Like, I'm really surprised she wasn't on the show. So
those two and Chelsea Green are the three misses. Of they did great work all year. One's a champion. How could they not be on this show in some capacity? I think those were the three biggest misses. I didn't like, they're doing the TLC match tomorrow night for the tag team titles. Like, that could have easily been a WrestleMania thing. And I don't know what you take out. If you take out the War Raiders New Day, I think New Day should have had that moment, but they also dropped the ball from everything after the Big E turn anyway. So that, like, that whole match and that finish felt just kind of flat, because New Day wasn't as hot as they were when they initially did the dropping of Big E.
Yeah. Well, if you want to transition that right into night one, I mean, like, that's, you know, I agree with that, yeah, too. I'm glad that the New Day won. I feel like they should have won, because they have been kind of lukewarm since, like, because the turn, like you mentioned, was a little while ago now. I like the War Raiders a lot too, just for whatever it's worth. They've always been really solid in the ring, those guys. Like, I like everyone involved in this. It just, they just got to know it. They just got to do something to capitalize with the New Day going forward and like really heat them up again. And like, you know, but it's Woods and Kingston. I mean, they'll figure it out. The opener for night one, Jay and Gunther, you know, obviously we expected, well, I shouldn't say we,
I mean, most people expected yeah, Jay to win. Yes.
Yeah. So, and I thought it was a good opener. You know, the crowd was hyped to see Jay. I thought the match, I don't know if the match was as good as the Saturday Night's Main Event match. I don't know. It was pretty close.
I don't think it was. What'd you think of the finish? Because a lot of people were upset that Gunther tapped as quickly as he did. I feel like that's the big complaint about this match.
I have no problem with that at all. Because the story here was Jay basically just like taking everything Gunther had. He's had multiple shots at him, never got the job done, learned from his mistakes, used Gunther's own moves against him. And I mean, it's either Gunther's going to tap out in the middle of the ring, or he's going to pass out, or, you know, it's going to take longer for him to tap, whatever. I think it just establishes Jay had him dead to rights and Gunther didn't want to go out. He knew he was done. So he tapped out quick. I have no personal problem with it. And you know, Jay won, and that's, and dude, the thing with Jay too, I think I'd seen, I think it was maybe Roman on McAfee leading to WrestleMania, but they were talking about how interesting it is and how happy they were to see Jay in the position he's in, because, you know, I'm not a twin, but like, I could imagine that's got to be tough in a lot of ways. It's a double-edged sword. Like, you have like a, someone who's like your best friend, who you're very much alike, and you know, you have like a bond with the twin. I'd imagine that's probably unlike anything else, but you're also probably constantly compared to that person, or like, you know, you're always kind of on the same level as the other person when it comes to everything, or treated the same way as the other person in a lot of ways. And like, it's just really cool, because this is nothing against Jimmy, obviously, but it's just really cool to see Jay just kind of like break through that. Like, you just, I never thought that like one of the Usos was going to just like randomly get incredibly over as a singles wrestler and become the world champion. If you told me that a few years ago, I'd be like, how the hell would that happen? Like, they're a great tag team. They're one of the best tag teams WWE's ever had. But like, they're twins that wrestle tag team matches. I didn't see it. And especially not even just that, you don't even see it happen that often with tag teams in general. Like, obviously the Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty comparison will always come up, but like, you rarely even see it with tag teams. You know, we see, you know, Jeff Hardy and Edge and stuff like that. But think about how many tag teams we've had in the history of wrestling and how many of them have broken up and one of those two people went on to become like a mega star in the company. It doesn't happen that often. And it really doesn't happen to twins. So like, I just thought it was really cool to see that. And then on top of it, I like Jay's personality, because he comes off really authentic when he's clearly not like totally comfortable being in the spot that he's in. Like, I can tell it even when he does interviews and stuff with media. It's almost like he still can't quite believe that he's in that spot. Like, he's just kind of like, you know, and this is, once again, it's not a knock on him. You can just tell like he's almost like starstruck by the fact that he's even in this position. And it comes through when he cuts these promos in the middle of the ring where like he's holding back tears and like choked up. But I like that as a fan, honestly, because I'm like, this guy is, he comes across as real. It's like, damn, that's how I hope I would feel if I ever became the WWE champion. Like, I can't believe this. I'm a lifelong fan. I can't believe this is happening to me. You know, like, so I think he comes off as relatable to the crowd. And, you know, I thought his match with Gunther was solid. I'm happy that he won the championship. You know, I think I love Gunther, but Gunther's going to be fine. If Jay lost this match, that was going to be a death sentence for him. If he came up short again against Gunther, that would not have been a good look for him. And now hopefully they do something with him and Jimmy or something at some point, or Jimmy gets maybe his own push. I don't want to see him totally like forgot about it, you know what I mean? But I'm very happy for Jay. I don't know if you want to elaborate that at all, but I'm very happy for him.
I think Jay had to win this match. Everyone knew Jay had to win this match. The finish, could it have been longer, like Gunther tapping or not tapping so quickly? Yes, like he could have fought it off a little bit. I do agree that it kind of showed that, oh, Jay had him. I mean, Jay hit multiple splashes, you know, he hit the power bomb and everything, and Gunther wasn't going anywhere, so Gunther just tapped out. Like, the story going into it was Gunther was cowardly when he wasn't in control, right? Like, that was when Jay stood up to him in that promo, you could see Gunther kind of pull back of like, oh, this guy is serious. This guy is here. And when Jimmy slapped him, now when Gunther was destroying both men, because Jay was zip tied and, or he was screaming on the announce table and stuff, he was in control. So he didn't look like a coward. So I thought it made sense for everything they were doing. I'm with you on Jay. Jay's very good with like the interviews and stuff because it is authentic. And I think some of them, he might have had a libation or two, as Cody Rhodes likes to say. Yeah. And so he, you know, he's fired up. He's amped up with things. The main event, of course, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Roman Reigns. It ended how you thought and many surmised of Paul Heyman turns on CM Punk. He turns on Roman Reigns and he aligns himself with Seth Rollins. You mentioned the match and how you thought like it was one of the best triple threat matches up there with the 20 main event and then night two. But what'd you think of the overall story and what we got the following night with Bron Breakker being part of this new dangerous alliance?
So once again, not to toot my own horn or pat myself on the back. I did say it last week, but this is the last time I'll mention it, probably ever. I called the Seth Rollins, Paul Heyman turn and alliance like before I was hearing other people talking about it. Obviously, by the time the match happened, it was a seed that had been planted in everyone's mind. So it's like, and I'm not unique in that sense, but I'm married to this idea because I was like, I wanted this, even if that turn didn't happen, I was very married to the idea of Seth winning this match regardless. And I've made my points about that in the lead up to WrestleMania. So I think the right guy won first and foremost. As far as the actual turn went, I love the way that they did it because they teased, I mean, we all saw it go down, but basically Heyman slides the chair to Punk. So you're thinking, oh, he's actually turning. He was actually siding and staying with his best friend, CM Punk. And then he low blows Punk. Roman Reigns he's cheesing. We think that Paul Heyman and him are on the same page. And as this is happening, you see Seth Rollins crawling up the ropes, setting up that shield scenario to the back with the chair. And Heyman props the whole thing up perfectly. And not only does he low blow Roman Reigns, he like shakes his arm around, like just gets all up in his nuts, just punching bags.
Scrambled his balls as SP3.
So oh, that's a good. Yeah. He did. He that's 100%. Yeah, he put those eggs to the magic bullet. He fucking scrambled those things up. Listen, I thought that was a. It was a great turn and a great moment and a great match. I mean, the actual match was great as well. So like they told a great story. I like the payoff. I like the idea now of CM Punk and Roman Reigns kind of having to put their differences aside and like kind of align. It looks like, because like you mentioned, Seth Rollins is now with Paul Heyman and so is Bron Breakker, which I also think is a great fit. Like, because if anyone is similar to Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, like when it comes to like athleticism and their physical look and using, power moves and the spear and that kind of stuff, like he's like the closest guy I could think of to those type of guys. And the reason I think that's important is, for one, Paul Heyman has experience, molding those kind of guys. But two, eventually we'll get Bron Breakker versus Roman Reigns one-on-one. And I think that'll put Braun on a new level when that goes down. Also, if Brock ever returns, that's a match that clearly writes itself as well. So like, I think that it makes sense for like, once again, I just feel like if you were looking for a guy to kind of replace the mold of a Brock or a Roman, Bron Breakker is like the obvious choice to do that. And they also took the Intercontinental title off him without him having to lose, which was smart too, because we haven't seen him like visually get pinned or submitted anytime recently. So he's going to come across as an immediate threat and pretty unstoppable when it comes to anyone he's about to wrestle right now. So like, yeah, I like it a lot. I like this new dangerous alliance we're getting. And yeah, I brought up Sami Zayn earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if he was added to this as well. Like if I was him in a storyline wise, I would have sour grapes about not being on the WrestleMania card. And you have the tie-in with him and Jay where like Heyman can get him into a title match to get the title off of Jay potentially or something. You know what I mean? Like he has the history with the bloodline himself. So keep your eyes on that one. That's one that I had kind of brewing in my mind too, is if they add to the group, Sami Zayn's the next guy. I think that would make sense.
I don't know if Sami makes a ton of sense.
I mean, I'm just saying if they keep adding to the group, I can't think of anyone who would make more sense in that group right now than him.
But why Sammy? Like they've got their ready-made top guy in Seth. They've got their ascending guy in Braun. You kind of need another guy on the come up here. Like, I don't know
what evolution. So
not even necessarily like a new evolution, because I know people are gonna point to that. But I just think you need a guy who, just a younger guy that you can lift, a guy who hasn't had any. I know Bron Breakker's already young, but he's already had main roster success. I'd like to see them bring in someone who hasn't really had that main roster success and like really put them up there. Because Sammy can be mad about not being on WrestleMania and like go after Jay, but I don't think he's going after Jay anytime soon. I do think Seth is going after Jay pretty quickly. I don't think this is a long Jay Uso title reign. I think it's going to be relatively short, and Seth could be the guy to take it from him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it winds up playing out. I'm just kind of throwing Sammy as an idea out there, but I think it's an idea that would make sense. But I do like your idea too of like someone who's either being underutilized or like just younger out of like NXT or something that hasn't really done a whole lot in their like main roster career. Like I don't know exactly who would be the best for that off the top of my head, but I mean, they have a lot of young wrestlers signed to their roster, obviously.
So that people have sort of thrown out there that makes sense is Nathan Frazier, because of his ties to Seth. And I don't know if you bring up Frazier and Axiom and do the tag team with the group. The thing is this group, wrestling-wise, Nathan Frazier is a little bit different than what you would see from these guys wrestling-wise. Like, Seth Rollins can do the athletic stuff and whatnot, but Bron Breakker is going to use brute force and power along with the athleticism. Frazier doesn't have, from what we've seen, the almost grittiness that it feels like this group is going to need, that we've seen Seth bring out in the past, and we feel Braun can do that just based on his overall style. So that's where, would Frazier be able to fit with them in that regard, is with the grittiness?
I'm sure he could. Like, it's just they'd have to tweak his character, and he'd have to tweak his in-ring style just a little bit. Like, some of the moves that he does that are, you know, flashy, that are going to get babyface pops, probably want to cut out at least some of that. But I'm a big fan. I was a fan of him when he was Ben Carter on the Indies. Like, I got to see him live years ago. I mean, I'd be happy to see Nathan Frazier get a big push, and he makes sense, you know, with Seth Rollins, considering, like you mentioned, he trained at Black and Brave, Rollins school and everything. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Axiom doesn't, I don't think he'd make a whole lot of sense, but, you know, they got a great tag
Axiom
team.
Axiom, you'd have to almost change, like drop the mask. And
yes,
I don't think the name A-Kid is going to be a great name.
Not
going to
happen.
For this group either. So yeah, he'd have to have a little of a presentation overhaul if you were going to bring up both of them for this.
Yeah. You'd have to do a total rebrand for him. I totally agree. A-Kid is a name that's never going to make the main roster regardless. But yeah, anyway, yeah, I'm interested to see where that all goes. And then just really quickly, also just other stuff on WrestleMania. From night one, it was good to see Jade get the win over Naomi. I like both women a lot. It was cool to see them have a one-on-one match. Good to see Jacob Fatu and LA Knight. LA Knight still getting that big pop, so congratulations to him. Hit that blunt force trauma midair, which was kind of cool. But I don't. But the problem with the move is it looks like he's face planting. So like it's kind of still kind of weird. But like I get it. You know, they hit it exactly how they intended to. But, you know, Jacob getting that win makes all the sense in the world, too. And it was interesting hearing The Rock's thoughts on him. Like, you can tell they have big plans for Jacob. El Grande Americano over Rey Fénix. This was solid also. I love where they're going with the whole Gable stuff. Like, I really enjoy I like the idea because it's, like, getting Gable a lot of attention. Like, he's a guy we wanted to see push for a long time. And now he can incorporate kind of, like, some loot. Like, when he becomes Chad Gable again, he can take a little bit of this with him, where you still might see him hit some like lucha style moves to mix in with his amateur wrestling style and stuff. Like, I think overall, this is going to be a good thing long term for Chad Gable. And it was cool to see Phoenix on the show. Like, it sucks that Rey Mysterio got hurt, obviously. Replaced one Rey with another Rey. And I'm actually surprised they even let Rey Fénix use the name Rey Fénix. I figured he'd just be Fénix in the WWE because of the confusion with Rey Mysterio. But anyway, that was good. And then also Charlotte versus Tiffany. Congrats to Tiffany for retaining. I feel like most people weren't too high on this one. This one went long also. Huh?
I thought it was great.
Well, you're a big Charlotte stan, so and so am I, to be fair. So like I'm less critical on it than most people probably were. Like, I didn't hate the match, but I saw some people kind of, you know, on social media and stuff. I think probably more the issue was, like, outside of the main event, this was the longest match of honestly, outside of the two main events, like, this was only a couple minutes shorter than Cena and Cody also. I mean, it was like a 20-minute match, Tiffany and Charlotte. So had it been maybe a little shorter, it wouldn't have been it maybe would have been a little bit better. But, you know, I think it's big for Tiffany to win that, though. I mean, Charlotte wins so often on the main stage, on the big pay-per-views and stuff. So Tiffany winning really feels somewhat of a passing of the torch. Like, it's not like Charlotte's, like, done, you know. But, like, you know, it shows that they have faith in Tiffany to have Tiffany beat Charlotte at WrestleMania. Like, they're actually really going with her as a top star right now, for sure. So, you know, good for Tiffany. But that's pretty much everything that went down on all of WrestleMania, I think, unless there's anything I'm missing, I can't think of.
I think it was everything. We even covered Austin crashing the ATV, which
I know I mentioned it, that I thought that it was, you know, lame that he came out before the main event and they didn't
I thought it was
in the main event.
I thought that it was lame. He's the one announcing the attendance. Like,
I was gonna say that too. Yeah, yeah.
Steve Austin of all people is like, go WWE corporate, making a bunch of money. Congrats to all you fans who are here. Like, what, huh? This doesn't make sense. That was
dumb. Hell yeah. Yeah, I saw something about Logan Paul said that he offered Steve Austin $1 million to get in the prime bottle, and but Austin wouldn't do it.
I feel like Logan was fucking around, but
maybe. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't. I mean, he may have been fucking around, but, like, I could totally see him offering Steve Austin $1 million to get in the prime suit. Like, I mean, but, you know, that's kind of cool that Austin's still, you know, OG enough to be like, fuck that. You know, like, he's like, I'm not doing that. You can give me $1 million, I still won't do it. I think most people would have just gotten the damn bottle. Like, $1 million, where's the bottle?
Oh, Austin. Doesn't need that.
Yeah. So yeah. Good on Austin. But I also noticed that Nick Khan was, like, immediately talking to the fan
from Oh yeah. Nick Khan had to do some damage CTRL there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, shout out to you. Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. Oh, yeah, no, go ahead. Super chats.
Couple super chats from Cyclops better than Wolverine. They're going to complain no matter what the ending. That's in reference to Jey Uso and Gunther. I think most people, if Jey Uso won, which we expected him to, were going to find fault in the match in some way and would have wanted Gunther to win, even though it was obviously setting up a Jey Uso victory.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see next WrestleMania what position Gunther's in, because, like, last year he was a longtime Intercontinental champion who lost the title, you know, to Sami Zayn in WrestleMania. This year, very similar, but with the world title, losing it to Jey Uso. So I wonder, it's interesting to see kind of, like, if he's the champion of one of the brands going into WrestleMania, because, like, he's served so well as the champion. Like, that's why he was the champion for so long, you know, on all the, you know, the UK indies that he was a part of. That's why he was the champion for so long in NXT UK. Like, the way, for whatever reason, the way that he wrestles, his presentation, his vibe or whatever, like, he's there's some people that are just, like, way better off chasing championships. Gunther is better just, like, as the champion. So I'm interested to see kind of where he goes from here, because I think he'll be in the title mix, but I don't see him beating Jey to win the title back, because that's got to be done by now after all the matches that they've had. So
one more super chat from Cyclops better than Wolverine. Here to pay money to see the Joel Master P clip. I don't think Jensen has seen this.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Let's see it.
You know who Master P is, right?
Yeah, I should have worn my Cody Rhodes Make Him Say On shirt. I actually was wearing that during WrestleMania when I watched
That's why he lost, clearly, because Master P is all elite. He doesn't care about WWE. So you screwed up. You were the bad vibes of why Cody lost. Hope you feel okay about that.
So what's this Joel thing? You have it? That's good stuff.
That's from Louis created that. That was in the weeds Discord. Yes. Louis sent in a super chat that just said make up say and that's how Joel read it off, showing how white he really is.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Man, I remember Master P from back in the day. I was a little kid listening to make crack like this. I still remember. That's how I learned how to make crack, everyone. When I was a kid, he gave me step-by-step instructions on how to cook crack cocaine. So. And then I was also watching him in WCW. He was out there with the No Limit Soldiers, hanging out with the Filthy Animals. Filthy Animals had some of the best theme music, too, back in the day. I always liked their songs and stuff. I was always a big Kidman guy. Anyways, anything else from WrestleMania before I go down a rabbit hole that makes even less sense?
Talking about I did want to get your thoughts. I'm sure you talked about it on the Weekender, but I did want to get your thoughts on Janela and Sabu nearly dying.
Yeah, that match was awesome, right?
I thought it ruled, honestly.
Yeah, I know. Like some of those bumps were wild. Like Sabu was going like face first through the spider web, and like he got kicked through that chair to the outside, through the door to the outside, like landed on his head. The Sandman got lost coming to the ring. It took two planes of Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
He came out and really, really beat down the Kogar brothers with that kendo stick. But is Sandman sober nowadays? Like, does he just pour beer on people? Because I don't know if he drank any of the beer, but I feel like I heard something about him maybe being sober nowadays, which is a good thing if true. Maybe I'm just making that up. Maybe he was drunk the whole time.
I know he still smokes, so there's at least that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he drinks.
But that match was pretty nuts. And I'm interested to hear, I don't know if you guys are gonna have Janela on anytime soon on In the Weeds, but he made allusions online about basically like this match. He wasn't sure if this match was gonna happen up until it happened, it sounds like. And you know, obviously Sabu no-showed his Hall of Fame induction for GCW last year, and they gave him the plaque after the match this year. So Sabu, not necessarily the most reliable guy in the world, but he did show up when it mattered this year against Janela. And Janela's the right guy for that spot. Like, he's always going to be the guy to wrestle like the bigger name, like the veteran in GCW, or be the one who if you can't really go to the level you used to be able to go, Janela's going to make you look good, you know. And I'm not saying like this was all Janela, because Sabu, to his credit, he went out there. I mean, I don't know what he was on, but he went out there and I think he forgot a few times that he was in a barbed wire match. Like he fell out of the ring a couple of times. He was like putting his like arms up against the ropes. And like, I noticed him being like, ow. And it's like, dude, you're leaning on barbed wire, bro. Like, you don't know where you're at. But that's either here nor there. He made it through the match and they both lived. Like they both made it out alive. I'm happy for Janela, because that was like his dream match of all dream matches. So I'm happy for him too.
All right. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. I don't know if we're going to have Janela on anytime soon. Maybe I'll ask him to come on. Jensen, let everybody know where they can find you at.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at @FightTalk_ or on X at @FightTalk_. Use code FightTalk and independentwrestling.tv. And if you want more thoughts of mine from the collective, I did a full review, dropped it on Tuesday, had a little bit of catching up to do from the weekend. But it is available over there on FightfulSelect.com. The next episode will either be Sunday or Monday. So that's the Fightful Select Weekend or podcast. You know, check that out if you're a fan of independent professional wrestling. I'll be on the TNA Rebellion post show this Sunday night with Joel Pearl and Crest the Star. And I always look forward to those. Those are I always join them for the TNA pay-per-views 4 times a year. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, TNA doesn't always have the most buzz, but Henry was just on WrestleMania, and people always do talk about TNA on the nights of their pay-per-view. So I always do get excited, regardless of like the state of TNA month to month to month. 4 times a year, you're guaranteed that like they're going to put on a great show, and that like the fans, the whole wrestling world will be talking about them. And that's what I'm looking forward to on Sunday night with TNA Rebellion. So join us for the post show on the main Fightful YouTube channel. And if you're at 1FW tomorrow night, I think it's in Cumming, Georgia. If you're at that show tomorrow night, please come say hi. Me and my buddy Daniel are going to be at the show. Daniel used to work in the NBA, and we've been friends since we were in middle school. He randomly hit me up. He was like, dude, there's a wrestling show like 5 minutes from my house on Friday. And I was like, dude, the homie Jack Jameson's in the middle of the poster. Like, if you're down to go to the show, I'll go to the show. And he was like, dude, let's go to the show. He's been to a wrestling show in a long time. He's never been to an indie show. He's been to some WWE shows throughout his life, but he's never been to an indie show. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully I'll get to catch up with Jack Jameson a little bit, say what's up to him, and see some people, you know, wrestle that I haven't got to see live in a little while. Battle Slam was supposed to return this weekend, but isn't going to. Don't know the reason why, but for all you Battle Slam fans out there, Baron DM'd me like a month or two ago and told me the shows were coming back. And then he put out some promotional stuff, but I see that promotional stuff has been taken down since. So if you're planning to go to Battle Slam this weekend, do not go, because it is not happening. But go to battleslam.net, I think it is. And they'll keep you updated on like the future shows and stuff over there. Just wanted to make sure that anyone planning to go to those shows does not appear, because there is not a show happening. But if you want to come out to a wrestling show this weekend, I'll give them some free promo. 1FW this Friday, I will be there. So maybe I'll get like in-person interviews, maybe for Fightful Select. And if I don't, I'll probably set up some future interviews with some of the talent there for this show for y'all. So I'll do that too while I'm there, and try to get some people lined up for y'all to hear from on the indie scene. It might be a little harder because there's going to be a lot of like AEW contracted talent there. So like, I don't know the logistics of that, if I can interview everyone there or not. But either way, I'll have a good time. Even if I don't wind up doing any work, it'll be fun to just go hang out at an independent wrestling show, because it's been a while for me. So
sometimes it's just good to go to the show and enjoy the show and not work.
See, I agree. I feel an obligation though, if I wind up getting like comp tickets, you know what not I mean? Yeah. But yeah. Like, which I haven't, by the way, for this show, not to say that that won't happen, because like I know plenty of people on the show, but I wanted to kind of keep a low profile on this and just kind of show up and, you know, just kind of see who is there. Like, that's fun too. Like, I was at a Battle Slam show kind of like unannounced once, and I was just taking pictures from the crowd. And then the next thing I know, Trey Lamar's behind me like, dude, what's up, man? I see you're here. And I'm like, is this cool? Like, kind of just like surprising, you know. It's a surprise when you kind of see your buddies you're not expecting to see and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
Tell Jameson I said hello. Tell him I wish him well. Always love Jameson. It's a good dude. All right, folks. We'll be back next week. And I'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern in the weeds with Joel Pearl. Maybe he might be running from the grind. We shall see. Until then, Jensen, remember always, in the words of the 17-time last real world champion, to never give up. Bye, everybody.
Skol Vikings.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online.
prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.